When mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it fulfills the four establishments of mindfulness. When these four establishments of mindfulness are developed and cultivated, they fulfill the seven factors of enlightenment. When the seven factors of enlightenment are developed and cultivated, they fulfill knowledge and liberation. Friends, this is how the Buddha enunciated the significance of practicing mindfulness of breathing in the discourse named Mindfulness of Breathing in the middle-length sayings of the Buddha. As we are practicing nowadays, from yesterday we are practicing mindfulness of breathing. Tonight I would like to talk on mindfulness of breathing. So for this Dhamma talk, our topic is mindfulness of breathing. Mindfulness of breathing is the meditation, it is the technique that all the Buddhas practice, develop for the attainment of enlightenment, Buddhahood. The Buddha has described, explained clearly mindfulness of breathing in many a discourse, such as Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the great discourse on mindfulness of four establishments of mindfulness, in the Digha Nikaya, the Lone Discourses of the Buddha, Anapanasati Sutta, Maharahulovada Sutta, Kayagata Sati Sutta of the Majjhima Nikaya, the middle length sayings of the Buddha. And again in Sanyukta Nikaya, the connected discourses, Ananda Sutta, Kimbila Sutta, and there is one particular chapter named Anapanasati Sanyukta. So all these places, the Buddha has explained mindfulness of breathing. Mindfulness of breathing is, in some discourses, the Buddha has explained four steps of mindfulness of breathing and some 16 steps. Tonight we are going to study these 16, all together 16 steps of breath. I know when I say Sanyukta Nikaya, Digha Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, Sanyukta Nikaya, these like lone discourses of the Buddha, middle length sayings of the Buddha, connected sayings of the Buddha. When I say this, for some of you, those who are not familiar with these discourses, these original discourses of the Buddha, it is quite confused. Let me to take a minute to explain a little bit about scriptures, this teaching, the original discourses that we use. You know, the Buddha passed away at the age of 80. After his passing away, 3 months after the passing away of the Buddha, there was a council where the monks, all arahant monks, all enlightened monks, 500 monks, they got together for a council where they rehearsed this Dhamma. By that time, the Dhamma, this teaching or discourses delivered by the Buddha was not in particular order. It is said like flowers, different kinds of flowers on an altar. Different kinds of flowers, not in particular order. But they got together to keep this in order, that is to codify. They rehearsed the Dhamma, codified the Dhamma. At this council, they understood the Dhamma taught by the Buddha, the different discourses, are in different categories. Like there are some lone discourses, some short discourses, some can be put into the category of like a numerical order, and also they found some are middle length ones. So in this manner they categorize this. They categorize this arahant, they discuss this, and they categorize the Dhamma, the lone discourses, in one group. That is called lone discourses of the Buddha. In Pali, we call it Digha Nikaya. Digha Nikaya. When the reference is given in a book, you find DN. DN for Digha Nikaya. Then they found the middle length discourses. That was another category, which is called Majjhima Nikaya. You find the reference as MN. MN for Majjhima Nikaya. Middle length sayings. Then there, as I said, there were some short discourses together with some stanzas, discourses with stanzas, which is called connected discourses. In Pali, Sangyukta Nikaya. The reference given in the books is SN, Sangyukta Nikaya. Then there they found some which can be categorized according to their numbers. Like, if you want the number, these are called numerical discourses. In Pali, Anguttara Nikaya. Anguttara is the reference, when given reference, AN. That is Anguttara Nikaya. Now, these numerical discourses are like from 1 to 11. It's a category from 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. Up to 11 number. So whenever you want to find some particular fact, you have to go to the number. Say for instance, if you want to find out the four noble truths, you have to go to the fours, number fours. If you want to find where the eightfold path, you have to go to the number eight, like that. That is how these monks categorized this, codified this Dhamma. So this Dhamma, by that time, not written in any books, not in writings. All these, from teacher to pupil, descendants, they preserved this Dhamma. From that time, not only the arahants, later on, of course, worldly monks, they remembered them. They memorized this and kept this, preserved this Dhamma for about 500 years, teacher to pupil descendant. Especially the Sri Lankan monks, they preserved this Dhamma for many years. Then, somewhere around 1st century, they had to write this down on palm leaves, ola leaves, palm leaves. That is, for the first time, the teaching of the Buddha was written on palm leaves in Sri Lanka. So thereafter, a person, a gentleman from England, named Reed Davids, he went to Sri Lanka for civil service. Then he learned Pali, Sinhalese, and he brought these books to England and established the Pali Text Society, in which he, together with his friends, they Romanized these Sinhalese scriptures to English scriptures. Romanized, that is called Romanized. They Romanized this first, and thereafter translated into English. That is how we got these English persons today. Okay, this is how we have to understand the original discourses we use. As I said, we here at Bhavana, we use only the original discourses of the Buddha. Not the commentaries, no sub-commentaries, no sub-sub-sub-commentaries, nothing. Only the original discourses of the Buddha. So, whenever I say original discourses, you have to understand this referring to lone discourses, middle-length discourses, connected discourses, and numerical discourses. These are basically these things. So, now let's come to the topic. Our topic tonight is mindfulness of breathing. Mindfulness of breathing in Pali is Anapanasati. You to understand this. We use Pali terms because it is the language that the Buddha communicated, and when we use the Pali terms, we can understand the terms, the meanings better, clearly. So therefore we want to use Pali terms also. Anapanasati. Ana means breathing in, ana. Apana means breathing out. Ana, apana, sati. You know the meaning sati now, as I told you yesterday. Sati means mindfulness. So ana, pana, sati means giving attention, become mindful with the breath. In breath, out breath. Ana, pana, sati. That is how we to understand. In the time of the Buddha, there was a king named Mahakappina. He was a senior king, senior to the Buddha. When he was enthroned, he was India. The Buddha was not born. No Buddhism there. After several years, he wanted to understand the teaching of the Buddha, but no word of the Buddha there. Later on, he kept some messengers at the four entrances of the four directions to get any message from any directions, from four directions, about the Buddha. So the messengers were at the entrances of the city. One day a group of merchants came to this city and they talked about Buddha. They gave sort of message that the Buddha is living in a particular monastery in Savatthi, the city called Savatthi. Now these messengers took this message to the king that the Buddha has appeared in the world. Now he is delivering Dhamma, he is giving the sermons and practice, giving meditation instructions like that. On hearing this, the king abdicated his throne. He gave up everything, his worldly life. Now is the time to go meet the Buddha. He, together with some ministers, he gave up everything. He went to see the Buddha. It was not very close distance, about 1,000 miles. He had to walk. Unlike today, no accessible, easy to access roads. He had to go through the jungles, woods, and crossing some rivers even in India. It was a very difficult journey. When he went to see the Buddha, Buddha himself saw how he is coming together with his friends. Buddha through divine eye saw that he was coming. So the Buddha wanted to go forward to meet him on the way. The Buddha went for some extent and Buddha was seated under a tree practicing. Buddha was sitting. While sitting, you know, the Buddha had this, halo. The aura, six colors. When the Buddha was there, when he came closer, he saw the Buddha. And he, together with his friends, went to the Buddha. Buddha taught him the Dhamma. They all entered the path. They all became stream enterers. By the same time, his queen, Anuja, her name is Anuja, she, together with her friends, together his retinue of maids, they also came here to see the Buddha. They also followed the same path and came to see the Buddha. Then the Buddha taught the Dhamma to them. They themselves entered the path. They themselves became stream enterers. While the first group, the king and his friends, the ministers, they became once returners. When the queen and the others became one stream enterers, the king and ministers became, they got the opportunity to enter the second level, that is once written, so Sakadagami. So they then all together went to the monastery. The nuns, of course, they went to the nunnery, the monks went to the monastery. Where this king, Mahakappina, he was practicing. One day he was practicing. The Buddha saw him. His body is very well erected body. And no moving, no shaking, no trembling, no wavering, rearing, nothing. Very strict, like a rock he is practicing. Not only one time, the Buddha saw this several times, and now this time Buddha seen him, addressed the monks, asked monks, "Monks, have you ever seen this monk when he was practicing? Have you ever seen that his body is shivering, wavering, trembling, any sort of curve? Have you ever seen this? Even whether it is in group or in private, have you ever seen?" The monk said, "No, we have never seen this. This is how he practiced. Whenever he practiced, this is how he is doing." Then the Buddha said, "This is because of practicing mindfulness of breathing. It is because of mindfulness of breathing. Whenever you practice mindfulness of breathing, you can be more and more alert, more and more mindful. Your body, you can understand your body. You can understand your breath clearly. Then you can keep the body erect." The Buddha said this. So this way, the Buddha emphasized, Buddha sort of encouraged the monks to practice mindfulness of breathing. Mindfulness of breathing is everybody's meditation. You know, almost all Buddhists, they practice mindfulness of breathing because it is easy. It is easy simply because it is always with you, your breath. That is the easy thing. Not the practice in all these 16 steps, but the easy thing is that you don't want to find any sort of object. Say, for instance, the hasina object, like this, like anything, or when you go to meditate, you don't want to take anything. Just you can go anywhere you like and just sit and observe your breath. The breath is always with you from the time of your birth. So, mindfulness is, therefore I say, everybody's practice. We all practice mindfulness of breathing. There's worldlings, worldly people, they all practice mindfulness of breathing. And those who enter the path, you know, to enter the path, as I said last night, there are 10 fetters. Of the 10, to enter the path, one has to cut off the first 3 fetters. The first 3 fetters are Sakkaya Ditti Vichikicca Silabbata Paramasa in Pali. In English, Sakkaya Ditti is personality belief. Personality belief. Sakkaya Ditti. Vichikicca. Vichikicca is doubt. Vichikicca. Then the third, Silabbata Paramasa is clinging to rules and rituals. So these 3, once you cut off these 3, you can enter the path. You can become a stream enterer, stream winner. So all these stream winners, stream enterers, they practice mindfulness of breathing. And then the next step is called once returners, Sakadagami. Once returners are those who have cut off the first 3 fetters and attenuate, weaken the next 2. What are the next two fetters? Kamaraga Patiga. Kamaraga is sensual desire. Kamaraga, lust and delight, you can say. Sense desires. Kamaraga Patiga. Next one is Patiga. Patiga is repulsion. Repulsion. So, those who have cut off the first 3 and attenuate the next 2 are called once returners. Once returns means they return here only one time. When one attains, when one becomes becomes a stream enterer, he or she has to cut off samsaric, cut off all these 10 fetters and attain enlightenment within 7 lifetimes. Maximum 7 lifetimes. That means he or she will be born in samsara only, maximum only 7 times. Before that, has to cut off all 10 fetters and attain enlightenment. So, once returners, they have to come only one time. That is why it is called once returners. Then, they also practice mindfulness of breathing. And those who have cut off all these 5 fetters, which are called 5 lower fetters, are called non-returners. Non-returners means they never return here. They, after their death, they are born in pure abodes. Pure abodes, some certain heavens, where they can complete their samsaric journey over there. That is why they don't want to come. They are called non-returners. So they themselves practice mindfulness of breathing. And those who have cut off the next 5, they are called higher fetters. Higher fetters are Ruparaga, Aruparaga, Mana, Uddacha, Avicca. Ruparaga means craving to material existence, material world, to be born in material world. They have craving, sort of attachment, clinging. Craving to material existence. Aruparaga is craving to exist in the immaterial existences, immaterial world. Aruparaga. Then, mana. Mana is conceit. Uddacha, restlessness. Avijja, ignorance. Those are the 5 higher fetters. Those who have cut off all these 10 fetters are called arahants, enlightened ones. They themselves practice mindfulness of breathing. And the Buddha himself, Tathagata, the Buddha himself practiced mindfulness of breathing. One day, while the Buddha was dwelling at the place called Icchānangala, the Buddha, addressing the monks, said, "Monks, I would like to take my seclusion for 3 months. Nobody is going to come and meet me, except the one who is bringing my daily meal." So saying, the Buddha took his seclusion for 3 months. After 3 months seclusion, the Buddha emerged from seclusion and said, "Monks, as Tathagata," Buddha, when the Buddha referred himself, Buddha did not say I, like I do like this, I do like this. Buddha used the term Tathagata to refer himself. So Tathagata, when the Tathagata is in seclusion, those who are not familiar with this, like the sects, different wanderers from other sects, they might think what he is doing in seclusion. They want to know, because you know, sometimes people have sort of doubt what they are doing in the name of seclusion. Even here when the monks, during the seclusion, sometimes people is not sure what they are doing, because in their kuti is nothing. Nothing to do. Just not only the monks' seclusion, even when the people are practicing meditation, you see, those who are not familiar with this thing, what he is doing over the time sitting? Whenever you see, it's he or she is sitting. So people think, is this meditation? It's no fruit. What is the fruit of it? What is the benefit of this? Just sitting. It is like the hen, you know, the hen hatch eggs. Chicks. The hen has to hatch eggs. The hen goes there and just sits on eggs. That is what she does. She never do anything else. Right? But after several days, you can see chicks all over. Right? Breakthrough, they come, chicks. Just like that, the meditators, all meditators do the same thing. They sit like, silently they sit, they have good results. They are practicing. They are mindful. They are developing their mind. So the results are there. So that is how, when the other wanderers from other sect, as they are not familiar with this custom, they might ask what he is doing, what Tathagata, what the Buddha is doing in seclusion. The Buddha said, whenever they say, the Buddha is practicing mindfulness of breathing. The Buddha himself said, monks, when my breath is going in, when the breath is going in, I understand as it is going in. When it is going out, I understand as it is going out. You see, that is what we do. We all have to do that. One thing, mindfulness of breathing. So, the Buddha said, this is the noble dwelling, noble one's dwelling. Arya Vihara. Arya means noble, noble's dwelling. Mindfulness of breathing. Buddha gave three epithets, three special words to mindfulness of breathing. The first one is Arya Vihara. This is called Arya Vihara. Arya Vihara means noble one's dwelling. Noble dwellings. Then Brahma Vihara. The second epithet given is Brahma Vihara. Brahma means divine. Divine dwelling. This is the divine dwelling. Anapanasati, the mindfulness of breathing. Divine dwelling. And the third, this is the Tathagata dwelling. Tathagata means the Buddha. It is the Buddha's dwelling. Tathagata Vihara. So, Arya Vihara, Brahma Vihara, Tathagata Vihara. Three terms. So, Buddha said, this all trainees and those who have completed the training, they all practice this. The Buddha gave two terms to the trainees and the adepts, those who have completed. Trainees, the term given is seka. Seka means training. Trainees, there are trainees. And there are some, those who have completed training. According to the Buddhist stratification of society, there are three levels. The first level is the worldlings, those who have not heard Dhamma properly, those who have not seen the noble ones, those who are not prudent enough in the noble ones' teaching, those who have not well trained, well disciplined in the noble ones' teaching are called worldlings, worldly people. That is the first level. The second level is trainees are seka. Trainees are those who are in the holy life, the stream entrance, once returners and non-returners. They are called trainees because they are in the training. They are undergoing a training. That is the high training. So they are called trainees, seka. And those who have completed the training are called aseka. I get the word. Aseka. Aseka are the arahants. They all practice mindfulness of breathing. So this is why I say this is everybody's practice. Mindfulness of breathing is everybody's practice. But there is a caution, warning. Buddha said, Naham bhikkhave muttasatis asampajanas anapanasati vadami. Once Buddha said, Naham bhikkhave muttasatis asampajanas anapanasati vadami. Monks, I do not recommend mindfulness of breathing for those who are unmindful, unmindful. Unmindfulness, unmindful and not clear comprehension. Those who have no clear comprehension and no proper mindfulness, for them, Buddha said, I do not recommend mindfulness of breathing. Friends, we all are mindful. We all are practicing as we are practicing, we are mindful enough, we have clear comprehension, therefore we can practice mindfulness of breathing, we can study mindfulness of breathing. So let's now come to understand the steps of mindfulness of breathing. According to the Satipatthana Sutta, great discourse on establishments of mindfulness, Satipatthana, Maha Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha introduced four steps which we are practicing, following nowadays. Let's understand the four steps. To practice these four steps, the Buddha said, first, find a suitable, congenial place. Buddha recommended three places. Go to a woods. Buddha said, go to a woods to practice mindfulness of breathing. Go to a woods. Second place, go to a foot of a tree. Third, go to an empty house, empty hut. So here you have this sort of woods, there are trees, there is an empty house here. Nobody is dwelling here, right? We all are in this empty house, we all can practice. That is the Buddha's recommendation for finding a suitable place. Then the Buddha said, then sit properly. Sit properly. You see, Buddha has given all these in details. How to practice? Sit properly. Aranyagatova, Rukkamulagatova, Sunyagargatova, Nisidati Pallankam Abhujitva. Sit properly, like cross-legged. Sit properly. Not necessarily the cross-legged, but sit properly, so that your body is, your posture should be sort of stable one, very well established, well grounded. Otherwise, while you are practicing, you are moving this way, that way. That is why the Buddha recommended the proper posture, the stable, very well established one. If you sit like a triangle, that is the best way to sit. Okay, then the Buddha said, Ujunkayam Panitaya, keep the body erect, straight body. Ujunkayam Panitaya. Parimukam Satyam Upatapetva, give your attention to the front of your face. The purpose is observing breath. In order to observe breath, you have to give attention to your nose, the base of your nostrils. So, the Buddha said, give attention. Ujunkayam Panidaya Parimukam Satyam Upatapetva. Now, Buddha said, Satova Asa Sati. Satova, Sato means mindful. Satova Asa Sati. Mindfully observe, mindfully breathing in. Asa Sati is breathing in. Mindfully breathing out. So, Satova Asa Sati, Satova Asa Sati. This is the preparatory steps which we did yesterday. And then the second one, the Buddha said, Digam va asasanto, digam asasamiti pajanati. Digam va pasasanto, digam pasasamiti pajanati. While you are practicing, observing your breath, not all the time, at a time. At a time, you can understand that there is a lone breath. Whenever you feel lone breath, understand that lone breath is going in, breathing in, long. And whenever it comes down, understand lone breath out, lone breath in, lone breath out. Now you got one thing, that is lone breath. Lone in comparison to short. Where there is lone, there is short. Now then you can understand short breath as well. So without short breath, there is no lone breath. Without lone breath, there is no short breath. That is why these two should go together. You cannot practice lone breath today and short breath tomorrow. That is why here I have recommended you to practice this both together today. Today, whole day you all practice this, understood this together. Lone breath in, lone breath out. Short breath in, short breath out. So the first step is lone breath in, lone breath out. Second is short breath in, short breath out. Now, third, which we have to practice tomorrow.
We are going to practice tomorrow.
Buddha said, Sabba kaya pati sangvedi asya sissamiti sikkhati. Sabba kaya pati sangvedi pasya sissamiti sikkhati. Now, here we have to understand one particular word, the verb that the Buddha used. The first and the second, the Buddha used the term pajanati. Pajanati means know well. Janati to know. Pajanati means know well. When you breathe in alone, know it well. When you breathe out alone, know it well. Then when you breathe in short, know it well. When you breathe out short, know it well. Know it well. Pajanati. Now when you come to the third step, the Buddha says, Sabba kaya pati sangvedi asya sissamiti sikkhati pasya sissamiti sikkhati. Sikkhati is the verb used here. Sikkhati means training. Now first he said know it well. Then now says sikkhati, train. Training. It is a training. You know, training, while you are in a training, while you are undergoing a training, you cannot go, you cannot take a short leave. Go and come back. You have to undergo the training to complete, like military training, say. You have to stay there until you finish it. So, train your mind. How? Sabba kaya pati sangvedi. Let's take this Pali word, then you can understand the meaning clearly. Sabba means all. Sabba means all. Kaya means body. Pati means contact, touch. Sangvedi means sensitive. Now this is the meaning. When you observe your breath, you can understand that it touches at the entrance of your nostril. Then you have to give attention to that point and you have to understand the breath is dragging in. Whole breath body. You have to understand the whole breath body from the time of contact, the entrance of your nostrils. You have to understand that the breath is going in. Once your lungs filled with air, no more breath to go in. Now that is the end. It is not necessary to understand the lungs. Just you have to give your attention to the entrance of your nostrils and understand breath in. Once finished, it is finished. That is the end. So, whole breath body means from the time of touching at the end of the nostril, you to observe whole breath from here to here. In other words, the familiar terms is beginning, middle, ending. Some of you must have practiced this way. Beginning, middle and ending. Middle means not right, the middle. This is the starting, beginning, this is the middle, this is the end. That is not the way that we, when we say middle, from starting, from beginning to the end is the middle. From beginning to the end is the middle. This is what is called middle. From beginning to the end, that means you have to observe all the way. From the starting, from the beginning to the very end. That is, then your mind is very well focused, your concentration is quickly come to the very good level. Your concentration is developing very well. This is the third level, which we have to practice tomorrow. Okay. Then the Buddha said that the fourth step is, Pasang bhayam kaya sankaram asya sissamiti sikkhati asya sissamiti sikkhati. This is sikkhati, this is training. Now from here to the very end, until you attain enlightenment, is the training. That is how the Buddha has given this. So now this level, this stage is called the fourth one. Pasang bhayam kaya sankaram. Kaya sankara. Kaya sankara means breath. Kaya sankara means breath. Bodily formation. Breath. Pasang bhayam means calming. you know, while you are practicing in this manner, you can understand that your breath is calming, not agitating. Not agitating, it's calming. Moment by moment it's calming, calming your breath. Sometimes you understand that you feel that you are like you are not breathing in and out. Huh? So that comes to the level of calming, that is called calming breath, calming your breath in and out, observe in and out. Calming breath, that is the fourth level. So these are the four levels or four steps that the Buddha taught in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Okay, now let's come to the Anapanasati Sutta, where the Buddha taught these 16 steps. Let's understand the 16 steps also. This discourse was delivered when the Buddha was dwelling at the place called Megara's, palace of the Megara's mother. Megara's mother. Megara's mother is another name for Visakha. She was the chief benefactress of the Buddha. She practiced generosity very well, as she was the foremost among the practitioners of generosity. She gave dana every day for many monks, hundreds of monks. She built a monastery named Megara Pasada, Megara Mata's Pasada. That is the palace of Megara's mother. So when the Buddha was living there one day, as it was the full moon day, full moon night, the old monks, all well-known, eminent monks of the Sasana, they were there on that day. Like Venerable Mahasariputta, Mahamoggallana, Mahakacchana, Mahakottita, Mahakappina, Venerable Anuruddha, Revata, Ananda, they all were there in that monastery on that day. That was the night time. The monks, these senior monks, they all were outside of the building in a sort of open area. They all were sitting on the floor, groups, in different groups. The senior monks taking the junior ones as 10 in one group, 20 in another, 30 in another, 40 in another, like that. Different groups in different places in the monastery. It's a big, very big area. It's a large area. So the monks were there under the rays of the moon. Just imagine the monks sitting under the rays of the moon, all shaven heads, glittering. And their saffron robes, the brightening, right? So, in this situation, the Buddha saw this, and seeing this, the Buddha says, monks, I am content, my mind is content, seeing this. It's so happy occasion, you see. The Buddha says, I am content. The term used is not that I am very happy, I am elated, or sort of, it's not, it is emotional, you know. As Buddha had no emotion, Buddha used the term content. I am content. See, in this. In this assembly, Buddha says, in this assembly, it is free from prattle. No useless term, useless talking. No useless, endless talking. Free from prattle, free from chatter, idle chatter-like. No backbiting, no malicious talk, no frivolous talk. This assembly, this community is worthy of respect, worthy of reverential salutation, worthy of gift. They are worthy of hospitality. This monks, this great assembly is the field of merit for the world, for the humans, for the beings. This is the field of merit. Punyaketa anuttaram punyaketam lokasya, Buddha said. And then the Buddha further said, in this group, in this assembly, I see monks those who have completely cut off their fetters and attained enlightenment, the arahants, I see there are some monks here, they are non-returners. I see some are once-returners, some are stream enterers, and I see there are some are practicing developing four establishments of mindfulness. Some are practicing the four great effort. Some are practicing the four roads to power. Some are practicing the spiritual faculties. Some are practicing the spiritual powers. Some are practicing seven factors of enlightenment. Some are practicing the noble eightfold path. Here in this assembly, I see some are practicing foulness, loathsomeness of body, repulsiveness of body. In this assembly, I see some are practicing perception of impermanence, and some are practicing mindfulness of breathing. Saying this, the Buddha explained what mindfulness of breathing is. Buddha said, monks, when mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it is of great fruit, great benefit. And then he said, what I recited, what I said at the beginning of this Dhamma talk. Buddha said, monks, when mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it fulfills four establishments of mindfulness. When the four establishments of mindfulness are developed and cultivated, they fulfill seven factors of enlightenment. When the seven factors of enlightenment are developed and cultivated, they fulfill knowledge and liberation. Now, the Buddha said, the 16th step. Of the 16, first four we already discussed. Let's come to the next four. That means from fifth one. Fifth one is when your breath is calming, you can experience rapture. Piti pati sangvedi asasissamiti sikkati pasasissamiti sikkati. You can experience rapture. Then the next one, you can understand happiness. Sukha pati sangvedi asasissamiti sikkati pasasissamiti sikkati. Sukha, happiness. Then you can understand Chitta Sankhara Patisangvedi, mental formation. Earlier the bodily formation, now mental formation. What are the mental formation? Perception and feeling. You can understand perception and feeling. Then you can understand the calming of the mental formations as well. Calming of the mental formation. So four steps are again, rapture, happiness, mental formations and calming mental formations. Those are the next group. These are, you know, as there are 16, there are four sets of four. Four sets of four. The first set we discussed from the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, and now according to this sutta, the next steps, next four. And now the third tetrad. Buddha said, you can understand your mind properly. Chitta patisangvedi. Chitta is mind. You can understand mind when you practice mindfulness of breathing in this manner. You can understand your mind. Then you can understand the gladdening of your mind. Gladdening the mind. Very happy. Then the concentration of mind. Then the next one is release. Or liberating mind means your mind is liberating, completely liberating from five hindrances. By this time, no more five hindrances. From this time, there is no more five hindrances. This is the time where you completely cut off, completely eradicate five hindrances. And then the last four steps. The last four steps are, you can understand impermanence, then dispassion, viraga, then the cessation, and finally complete relinquishment. relinquishment of all impurities. So these are the 16 steps. It takes long time to explain. If I want to explain all this, it takes hours. So let's understand in brief in this manner today. If you want to later on, you can understand in details. So now these 16 steps, Buddha said, this is how one has to practice mindfulness of breathing. Then the Buddha said, when you practice developed, cultivated mindfulness of breathing, it fulfills four establishments of mindfulness simultaneously. How? As I said, there are four sets now. The Buddha said, whenever you observe, whenever you practice the first four steps, you are practicing, developing mindfulness of body. Mindfulness of body is one of the four components of four establishments of mindfulness. So, that is called kaya, kaya anupassi viharati. You are observing, understanding, establish mindfulness, body as body. That is what you are doing whenever you are practicing the first four steps. Okay, when you go to the second categories, the next four, when you go to that, you are observing, developing, cultivating the second component of mindfulness, that is satipatthana. Second component is feelings as feelings. You are developing feelings as feelings. Understanding, developing, cultivating feelings as feelings. When you go to the third set, where you are developing, cultivating mind as mind. Mind as mind is the third component of the establishment, four establishments of mindfulness. Third one. When you go to the last group, where you are practicing, developing, realizing the fourth components of the four establishments of mindfulness, that is observing, understanding the mental objects as mental object. Those are the four components of the four establishments of mindfulness. So, when you are practicing, developing one thing, you are developing four things simultaneously. Then the Buddha said, when you develop and cultivate these four establishments of mindfulness, they fulfill seven factors of enlightenment. How? You are developing mindfulness. When you develop mindfulness, the first factor of enlightenment is mindfulness. You see, as you have mindfulness, you are developing mindfulness. Now you are developing the first factor of enlightenment, mindfulness as a factor. When you have mindfulness, now you have wisdom also. Mindfulness and wisdom go together. So you have mindfulness and wisdom and also clear comprehension, wise attention. All these qualities are there, enclosed, encompassed. Now you can see the Dhamma, you can see the nature of things, real nature of the object of your meditation. Where you have investigation, you are embarked upon to understand things as they are. Now this is called the second factor of mindfulness, which is investigation of the Dhamma. You are developing investigation of the Dhamma. When you develop investigation of the Dhamma in this manner, you want to do it again and again. You want to understand more and more things. Then you arouse energy. That is what is called the enlightenment factor of energy, virya. With that you have rapture in you. Rapture. That is the next one, next factor of enlightenment. Enlightenment factors. And when you have rapture, then your body becomes sort of come to the state of tranquility. That is called passabdi. When you have passed the tranquility, your mind is calm and come to the state of concentration. That is samadhi. This is another factor of enlightenment. Now, the last is equanimity. When you have concentration, good concentration, as you have mindfulness, your mind come to the state of equanimity. In this manner, when you practice, develop four establishments of mindfulness, you are developing the seven factors of enlightenment as well. These seven factors of enlightenment called bhujanga, which lead you to the attainment of enlightenment, for the realization of the four noble truths. The Buddha said, when you practice, develop, cultivated seven factors of enlightenment, they fulfill knowledge and liberation. What is knowledge? Knowledge here means four noble truths. You can understand four noble truths. That is the realization. Whenever you realize the four noble truths, that is what is called liberation. That is how mindfulness of breathing helps us to understand, realize the real reality, realize these four noble truths and liberation. When you come to the state of liberation, you yourself know this. The Buddha said, vimuttasmin vimuktamiti jnanam hoti. When you are liberated, you can understand, you can realize that it is liberated. Not I am liberated, but it is liberated. What is liberated? Not you, not this body. What is liberated is your mind. It is liberated. Vimuttasmin vimuktamiti jnanam hoti. With this, the one who came to this state can understand that kina jati destroyed all birth. Destroy birth means you will not be born again. Birth is destroyed. Kina jati. Usitam brahmacharya. I led the life in this holy life. I led the holy life. Usitam brahmacharya. Katang karaniyam. Done what had to be done. It's finished. Everything finished. Done. Katam karaniya naparam ittathaya. You can understand that there is no more to be done. This is the realization. That the one who realized this four noble truth is the Arahant, the enlightened one, who has no attachment, no repulsion, living with us in this society after the attainment of enlightenment. At the dissolution of the body, at his death, after his passing away, there is no place to cling to, no place to be born. So the attainment of enlightenment, the result is within this lifetime, not after this life. So within this very lifetime, one can attain enlightenment and lead a life as an enlightened one. So all these results are the results of practicing mindfulness of breathing. Friends, let's understand the significance of practicing this wonderful technique introduced, enunciated by the Buddha. And let's, with a great courage, with a great trust, confidence, conviction in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, let's practice, continue our practice, so that we all can live a happy, peaceful life and finally attain perfect peace, perfect happiness of Nirvana. May we all attain perfect peace, happiness of Nirvana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.